Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Aerosmith at Delta Center on November 24th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. You going to go see Aerosmith, Ben?
Sure.
I'd go see Aerosmith.
Yeah. No problem with that.
That might be dated. I think we did Aerosmith tickets. I think this week's supposed to be Pitbull, actually.
Oh, Pitbull.
We'll do them together.
Aerosmith and Pitbull.
Yeah.
Pitbull,
what
the
a combo.
The bald guy?
Yeah.
The NBA playoffs guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, playoffs guy.
So he's, where's he playing? USANA? Or I guess America First, right?
He's playing at, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater.
Utah First Credit Union, jeez. Multiple misses in one segment. Apologies.
Everything's rapidly changing in our beautiful town.
Yeah, sponsorship. Admittedly, sponsorships are tough to keep up with. Sometimes.
We're growing.
I'm still getting used to I should be doing credit union and bank reads for things. But I'm still getting used to the Southtown Expo Center and its new title.
Yeah, right. No, we're rapidly changing, and it's only just beginning. I'm fascinated by what type of interest hockey's going to generate in our town. From a sponsorship standpoint, from an economic impact standpoint,
so on
who's going to want to be a part of it?
On that note, did you hear Jim say that he believes that the overlap in the fan bases is only about 10%?
Yes.
Between hockey and basketball? That stood out to me, and I'm sure they've done their research, so I'm not. Seemed low.
And
to
I would
me.
Say at the moment, yes, that's probably accurate. At the moment. Once it became a realization that actually was going to happen, I bet you that number would spike dramatically. I mean, from my personal experience.
Oh, man, see, I actually think it's a really good thing that number is low.
Oh, I agree with you. Like, yeah, no, it's not a bad thing that you were going to get that much interest if only 10% of the fan base
overlap. Because overlap is going to be rough, because nobody can afford to buy 82 tickets.
I'm not so sure I agree with that.
Your average, maybe you are, Ben, but I don't know what your investment portfolio is looking. Call Trajan, Trajan. But I would say very few people can buy 82 tickets. I'm not talking about corporations. I'm talking
about. Well, that's
about
the thing, but that's the problem. That is who buys tickets. This idea that the average fan is the one that they're talking to ever, it's not. Like, season ticket holders are not, and there are examples of our listeners. I know people who have season tickets, you know, and they'll split them with somebody, and I'll take 20 games, and you can take 20 games, et cetera, et cetera. There are those fans. So many season ticket holders are corporate sponsorships or whatever, corporations buying 6 seats in a row, 8 seats in a row, so they can wine and dine people and take them out or give them out to their company as a benefit, whatever they want to do. I think that type of overlap is going to be enormous. There's going to be a lot of people who say, yeah, it's great. There's not a jazz game in town on a Tuesday. There's a hockey game, though, so we're going to go to that. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I think it's a good news that number's low. I think it's the more likelihood of success with a lower number, because you don't want to take – there is a fear of taking a bite out of the other. Again, I used Larry Miller as an example. He was concerned at the time that RSL would take a bite out of the Jazz. Now, I don't think it did.
At all.
But that was a concern at the time. And it's a concern because it can happen. I mean, why were the Coyotes, why did they only have 10 fans in Phoenix? Because there's 5 other professional teams to root for. I mean,
the Hawks don't sell tickets.
Ultimately, the Coyotes were the one that had they were the, I'm thinking of Old Man in the Sea now, the like carcass of the fish.
Uh-huh.
That was because everything else fed off of it, right? Arizona State is a casualty. Used to be the biggest thing in town. And then the Suns came, and then the
Atlanta
Cardinals
hockey
came,
team that has struggled.
Yeah, right.
The Atlanta Hawks don't sell tickets. The Detroit Pistons don't sell tickets. New Orleans doesn't sell tickets.
Yeah,
the
right.
Pelicans. Like, yeah, there's too much else going on.
There's other things, other tickets to buy.
And LSU so baseball is more important than the Pelicans.
I do think that's a risk. Now, maybe I'm like the great Larry Miller, and hey, that's not a problem, and that's good for everybody. But certainly if you're owned by the same person, you want to create a new – fan base, so to speak, and don't necessarily want it just being Jazz fans who decide to buy 5 Jazz games and 5 hockey games instead of 10 Jazz games. I do think there are more of those fans than you're giving it credit, but I understand your point.
I think, absolutely, that there are. And there are going to be fans who say, no, we're going to do hockey next year, we're not going to do basketball.
Right.
Especially because no one's expecting the Jazz to be great next season. And rightfully so. I don't think the Jazz are going to be great next season. So there are going to be fans who say, hey, this year, let's invest in the one sport because we're that's what we have in our budget. That absolutely exists. They're going to sell out both. Now maybe the Jazz's sellout streak of 270 plus straight games gets snapped this year. It might.
I don't 100% believe that streak is still intact anyway, but yeah, I mean.
Everything, all their numbers, I mean, we got an update saying it is.
I know.
All the tickets have been sold.
No. But you also agree with me.
Well, I mean, there's not a butt in every seat. Does that mean every ticket is not sold?
Right.
I don't think the Jazz are lying to us.
Oh, no. I'm not implying that they're lying. Every single sports athlete does this. Remember when BYU had like 5 people in the stands for, well, there were a number of those games you can pick between some of those November games that were just rough, right? And there's like probably 15, 20,000 people in the stands and you look at the thing and it says 50,000. The people just didn't come.
Sure. But the tickets are sold, which is ultimately is probably what they
hear. Or given out or whatever.
Whatever you got to do. Fine. Yeah, either way.
But yeah, the arena hasn't been 100% packed for that many games.
So I could see the Jazz streak actually being broken. First time in over 270 games. Now, maybe I'm wrong. There is not going to be an available hockey ticket for 2 years.
And that's the newness factor. The Jazz didn't sell out every game during the last rebuild. I never thought it was. I'm surprised. I guess my point is I'm surprised that's even still going because it didn't fall off entirely during the last rebuild. But yeah, it was down to 15, 16,000 fans.
Yeah.
That's inevitable, I think, when they're not good. But anyway, the hockey thing, the newness, they can suck for 2-3 years and they'll still draw.
And they will. I'm not saying they're going to suck. They're going to be good. I mean, they're a team on the rise. I'm excited to get to know some of this free agency and what's going to happen here with the.
It would be helpful for them getting solid here if they were good. But I don't think they have to be good for a couple of years.
But it seems like they're trending in that direction as long as they don't mess it up themselves.
Well, they're going to have to sign a defenseman.
At least one.
At least one.
Our guy Liam O'Brien, Spicy Tuna, is a free agent. So probably smart of him to go out there and become a fan favorite really quickly.
Yeah, get Spicy back.
Pretty good marketing for him. And we'll see. I'm sure Bill Armstrong will talk about that coming up today at 2 o'clock on Hans and Scotty, the GM for the Coyotes.
You need a personality.
But, yeah, I mean, I will be curious what the overlap is. I don't think it's going to be an issue in the immediate future. Maybe 5 years down the road, if the Jazz never figure it out, if the Jazz don't come back from this rebuild and they end up turning into one of the worst teams in the NBA, which the fan base hasn't traditionally allowed that, but we have thrown a wild card into that. That right. The fan base has another option now for the first time. So maybe the fan base would present some apathy towards the Jazz that they've never shown before because it was, with all due respect to everybody else, the best show in town.
Yeah.
It was the best show in town consistently. And maybe they would lose that if a hockey team comes in and plays well and performs well and is in the Stanley Cup playoffs and everyone says, well, that's where we want all of our money to go, and the Jazz are our old news. We'll see. The nice thing for
that's
the Jazz—
That's kind of not how hockey's set up, though. You know what I mean?
In what way?
In the collective bargaining way. Like, you're going to have a set expense for hockey. You know what I mean? Like a—
Oh, no, I don't. I mean from a fan base where the fan is spending
investing.
Their money,
okay.
Not
oh,
where the team
me.
Is spending
no,
their
I
money.
No,
I misunderstood. Oh, man, I can't remember if I was reading an article in The Athletic or what I was reading over the weekend. Have you seen the result of the lockout for the owners since 2011? We probably don't remember it a ton here because we didn't have a hockey team and we were also dealing with the Jazz lockout.
Yeah.
This is a super extended lockout, right?
A year and a half.
Gary Bettman absolutely just said, we're not coming back until the players meet all
they went
the
to
demands.
The yeah.
Of the owners, there's been a $4.5 billion transfer of wealth from the players to the owners.
Yeah,
in a
there
decade.
Has been.
In a decade. That's $450 million a year. That's unreal how bitter that fight must have been for the players to lose all of that in a decade.
Well,
to shift towards the ownership.
If you listen to the owners' argument, they would have said, well, the reason we did that is because there wouldn't be a league.
Yeah, the league was going to go out of business.
If we didn't have that transfer of wealth because we can't afford to just lose money all the time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not. Yeah, I don't
look
know.
Look at arena football in its first run when Hance was playing for arena football. Hance will tell you he made a nice living, not NFL nice, but like made a really nice living. But the truth is, the business model was flawed because they couldn't afford to pay the players like that because they didn't make enough dough. And not that the NHL is the Arena League. I mean, way more established than that, obviously. But on the trajectory that they were going, they would have told you, like, it's not sustainable.
It's unsustainable.
So, I don't know. It sounds so vicious when you put it that way. Like, what was it?
$4.5 billion.
Transfer of wealth to already rich people. Well, it's not really that simple.
Again, you could. Yeah, they could have gone under. Right. They may have needed that money to keep the league.
To get new arenas and to be able to invest in the franchise and to hire people and do all those sorts of
things.
And
that hockey was losing its TV fan base and all these things. It was having a very serious issue. It was not what it had been in the 90s in its heyday. You know, they needed something dramatic. It's why Gary Bettman was probably willing to
do it,
sit on it for a year and a half.
And he saw what – he came from the NBA. And he came from old school NBA because he's been the hockey commissioner forever now. But he saw how it was, and he saw the direction it was going, and he didn't think that his sport could survive that. Maybe he was wrong. I mean, the NBA has certainly survived.
Regardless, I think being an owner in the NHL is not a bad business, actually.
No, it's not.
I love their CBA. It's an owner-friendly league compared to the other leagues. Now, look, you'd rather own the NFL because you print money, and all these teams are doing well, but... It's a good league to be in if you're an owner. So I'll be curious. We kind of got sidetracked by the idea of how you spend money in the NHL.
Apologies, that's my
No, point. It's fine. You've got your $98 million you're going to spend on your salary, and then whatever it costs for operations to run, you know, to fly your team around.
And what's the basement? It's like not that. It's like I'd have to look.
No, it's
like
high.
75 or 80.
Yeah,
or
it's high.
Like the variance of.
You have to spend your money.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to spend your money, and Ryan Smith has showed a willingness to want to spend the money. Did you know? This is what I heard. Ryan Smith had to pay outstanding hotel bills from the old owner.
That's hilarious.
Because one of the things, there was this meeting, and this is talked about publicly, was that the player said, Ryan went down there and met with whatever the 80 people that are involved in this. You've got 50 players signed to contracts. You know, you've got 23 that are on your main roster, 20 that suit up every night. But there was some 70 players. And he said, what can I do for you? And the two things that the player said, we want better operations for our wives. We want our wives to feel more comfortable. Taken care of better at games. He said, done. And then he said, what else? And the player said, we want better hotel rooms when we're on the road. And he said, you're staying where the Jazz are staying, which is five-star hotels everywhere you go. He said, you're going to stay at NBA quality. That's what we're going to do. That's just going to be the deal going forward, and that's not what they had been doing.
That's not in the NHL CBA? Because that's in the NBA CBA.
Yeah, it is. Apparently, it is not.
Oh, man, they'd be staying at the Days Inn if I owned the team.
And apparently, some of the bills were unpaid, which is how bad Alex Morello was as an owner. Allegedly, some of those... some of those hotel bills had not been paid. Just crazy. You can't pay the hotel bill for your team.
Did I tell you guys there was a continental breakfast? You're going to love this place.
I need you guys to skip the breakfast.
I got two words for you. The Best Western. Yeah.
Guys, we're gonna have some Dunkin' Donuts coffee at the arena. Don't eat at the hotel. We haven't paid for the breakfast for you guys. We didn't pick up that option.
I tell you a story about my buddy Keenan. Who played college basketball in Indiana and then really tried hard to keep the professional basketball dream alive for a long time. And I give him credit because he never got over the hump, but he really tried to make it happen. And he played in the old ABA. I'm talking like mid-aughts ABA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if the ABA is still around.
I don't think so.
But like he had a franchise close up on him in the middle of the night. Like, they had a game.
Yep.
Came back to the hotel. He goes back down, you know, to the front desk in the morning, and they say, the owner left, and you owe us money for the hotel room. And he was like, wait, what?
You're not leaving.
Wait, what? And then, the owner just vanished into thin air. I still don't think he got paid for, like, I think he's got an outstanding whatever, you know? Several hundred thousand dollars, whatever, for like he was owed. And the owner was just like, gone.
And how often that does happen?
In these minor leagues?
I mean, we remember.
It happens all the time.
Michelle Botkin, what's the
Stallions.
Alliance of American Football.
That whole league disappeared.
Yeah, overnight. Yeah, really quickly.
Oh, man, I've seen so many of those. Do you remember the indoor football league that was going to do everything via vote?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I remember them coming through. I remember talking to the GM. Absolutely.
That was doomed.
You could get on your
failure.
App and you could pick the play on the app. The fans would vote on the app. Yeah, it's difficult.
The original run of the Stars was kind of a disaster down in Utah County.
Whose head coach was?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Young?
Kevin Young. Well, I don't know about the on the court. I'm more talking about the off the court. Yeah. Hiring a fake Michael Jordan to set up some sort of phantom one-on-one with Brian Russell during a snowstorm might have been the most offensive marketing campaign in history.
It was wild. Well, while we're talking business, maybe we should save this for the next segment, though I do want to talk some playoffs. How about what we had teased at last week actually coming through? Amazon Prime, Prime Video, buying the NBA. Going to have conference finals games on Amazon Prime streaming. Going to have a big selection of the regular season games as well available on Amazon Prime. If you've got it, you're going to be able to watch those. I'll be curious if they start changing prices there. But a lot of those games, that's how you're going to have to watch them now.
What is? Do you think this is a new package, or is this somehow leveraging because ESPN and TNT aren't coming to the table?
Well, ESPN also bought in.
Did
so
they?
ESPN is these deals are rumored to be at least a decade and maybe up to 15 years. So this could take you up through about 2040. ESPN bought a package, so the NBA is going to remain on ESPN. Now it's going to move to Amazon Prime as well. And the question is, who gets the third bite at the apple? Because the NBA wants to have three partners. TNT has the right of first refusal. It's Warner Bros. Who owns TNT. So they've got an opportunity. It sounds like it'll probably be fewer games if TNT gets it. But NBC is also preparing to come and make a big push because the NBC wants the NBA back on their airwaves. And they're trying to figure out how to do that. Now, the league apparently also may do four providers where NBC will have some games, TNT will have some games.
See, that's creating new packages. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Like, so, that's the question. Do you end up getting more games? But this is a big chunk of games that are, I think, you're used to seeing on TNT already moving over to Amazon.
Because when football did it and created Thursday Night Football or whatever, that was new. That was a new package. I wasn't coming from an older one. So that'll be interesting. I don't know. I've been considering recently getting rid of Amazon Prime, so maybe that will
change your ways. Yeah.
What really needs to happen is Amazon needs to pick up the whole thing. And we got to get rid of Bally Sports and all this stuff and just have Amazon have every NBA game all the time. Why not?
And that's going to be your home in the NBA.
Except for the nationally televised games you want to put on ESPN, that's going to be it. I more mean Amazon needs to replace the regional network, not necessarily replace the national broadcast. I bet that's the
end game.
That's the fine line the NBA is walking, right? Is what do we do to solve our regional sports network problem, but not take a bite out of our national broadcast cash cow? Right?
Yep. ESPN's expected to decrease from 100 games to close to 80.
Yeah.
Making space for third rights holders like Prime Video.
So it is taking a bite out of
ESPN. Out of ESPN. So they're on board, but not as heavily.
So they probably were not going to invest like they have before. So there's the answer. It's probably a little bit in the middle of what we're talking about. They created a little bit new, but the mouse probably didn't have the dough. So they took a little away from the mouse. Sounds like they're taking a little bit away from the rabbit, too.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers, the rabbit?
The rabbit, yeah. The mouse and the rabbit. That's good.
God, nailed
I might
that.
Have gone Animaniacs, but yeah, rabbit's good.
But who's the most iconic? I mean, Mickey certainly is not my favorite Disney character.
Oh, he's the most famous cartoon character of all time.
Right. Bugs has got to be second, right?
Yeah. More than the Animaniacs. More than Pinky and the Brain.
Much more than the Animaniacs. I mean, I always thought Daffy was pretty hilarious, but...
Yeah, I like Daffy.
But Bugs seems to be the icon, you know what I mean?
Sarah, do you know Animaniacs before your time? She doesn't know it. That was pretty iconic for us.
It was a cartoon. It aired in the mornings when you had to wake up to watch cartoons and you had like one option. Not that Animaniacs is bad.
I know Bugs Bunny and stuff like that is, but...
Warner Brothers tried to re-engage with youth watching cartoons with the Animaniacs. And they had this whole series. It was pretty goofy.
And it was fine, I don't know if it reinvented children's television.
No, it didn't.
Certainly is no Bluey.
It's no Bluey.
Not even close.
Nope.
You watched the new one?
I have it. The Sign?
No, there's
another new one.
Yeah, there's another new one.
Man, I need
a surprise.
Up.
Everybody had a real emotional reaction to the sign.
I know. I need to watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
Surprise is pretty good, though. You get to see Bluey as an adult briefly.
Oh, okay. Spoiler. Let's talk some NBA playoffs.
Well, it
next.
Doesn't really have anything to... Well, it kind of does.
I want you to tell me if I have too hot of a take coming up next.
Oh, man, a scorcher, I'm sure. Stay tuned. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Ben, I have my flame retardant clothing on now. I have my face shield. I'm prepared. For a real scorcher take based on your tease.
Okay. I was born in 1986. I fell in love with the NBA in the mid-90s. Lot of Knicks games in my life growing up. A lot of Knicks Pacers, a lot of Knicks Bulls, a lot of Madison Square Garden. Everybody, you are the exception, seems to have some affinity at least for the idea that the NBA is better when the New York Knicks are a good team. In my lifetime, I think Jalen Brunson's the best New York Knick I've ever seen.
Better? He's not better than Patrick Ewing.
I think he might be.
He's not.
I think he might be better than Patrick Ewing. Why? What did Patrick Ewing ever do that puts him in this list? Like, Patrick Ewing's the worst 90s players among the 90s players. Like, he's right there with Reggie Miller among, like, the guys we talk about made All-Star games and never got anywhere near the promised land.
Because Patrick Ewing is a Hall of Famer and was a Dream Teamer, and Jalen Brunson is not.
Okay, again, he was like the fourth best center of that group of players, and I get it.
Brunson's got a long way to go until he's better than Patrick
Ewing. I'm not saying he's got a better resume. He's never going to have a better career. Last night, yesterday, what we've seen from Jalen Brunson this year is better than anything. And again, I'm not going to pretend when I was 10 years old I was breaking down the NBA with a critical eye the way I do now. I think Jalen Brunson's a better Knick than Patrick Ewing is. I think his season this year, what he's doing now, is better than what Patrick Ewing ever did. And I know it's better than what Carmelo ever did.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to defend Carmelo. But Carmelo is Jalen Brunson in a sense. Well, if you're the guy who has the ball in his hands for the whole time on a crappy team, well, your stats are going to be pretty good.
Okay.
Bradley Beal's stats were really good.
The Knicks are more than a crappy team.
Yeah.
They're about to eliminate, it looks like, maybe this falls apart, and the Knicks have been known to lose some of these things in the past, to eliminate Joel Embiid, who's playing at an MVP level. I mean, did win the MVP 2 years ago, and I guess he won it last year. Not 2 years ago. He won it last year. He's the reigning MVP right now and was better this year. Now, I know he's been hurt. I know he's coming back from injury. I know he's dealing with Bell's palsy. There's a lot of issues that he's dealing with right now.
Ben, the Sixers shot 35%.
Yeah, the Knicks are good.
They're a super flawed team.
The Knicks are good. The Knicks defense is elite. OG Anunoby's great. And you've got a leader right now in Jalen Brunson who is setting Knicks records. Last night, 47 points, the most ever by a Knicks player in a playoff game.
He took 34 shots.
Fine. Okay. He scored 47 points in a game they had to win. In a game that they scored under 100. This is a Knicks.
Exactly.
This is a 90s Knicks game, and he's still setting records doing it. Unbelievable.
Who was it? Was it Trevor Booker who said about Ennis? When Ennis came back around and played the Jazz with Oklahoma City, and Booker said, Ennis got his stats and took the L as usual.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they didn't lose, but they scored 97 points. So you took 34 shots and scored 47 points, and your team still didn't play well offensively. What does that tell you?
that you needed that from that guy.
No, that 47
points
from...
on 34 shots is not bad.
Maybe if you got other guys more shots,
he got 10 assists.
You would have scored 120 points.
He had 10 assists in the game.
An assist isn't what it used to be, and
he
you know that too.
He had 10 assists in the game, meaning he accounted for at least 67 of their 94
yes,
points.
Thank you for describing usage to me. But I don't think high usage equates to good player. I don't buy into that.
Oh, of course not. No, there's no correlation that just using the otherwise Al Jefferson would have been the best player in the NBA.
Yes.
Super high usage. The ability to do it though and have your team win games
win
is
a
important.
Game. Where are the Knicks going? Nowhere.
Well, I think they're going to beat the Pacers in the next round and they're going to go to the conference finals.
Yeah, and the Jazz beat Golden State after Golden State had beat Dallas. Where was that Jazz team going? Nowhere.
Well,
lost to the Spurs.
If the argument is yes, you're not going to win a title.
No,
correct. They're
not
going to win a title.
What's the point?
Okay, so guess what? Guess who else never won a title? Patrick Ewing. So what was the point of his whole career? What's the point of 11 All-Star games and 7 All-NBA teams
and
3 All-Defensive teams?
You
were What's the point? Who cares?
Comparing Jalen Brunson to Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
And I find that ridiculous. Jalen Brunson hasn't done anything, and Patrick Ewing
is a Hall of Famer.
He had a Hall of Fame career.
Great. Good for him. He acquired all these stats over a long period of time, and under your definition, never did anything. He never did anything.
He's a top 10 player in the league for a very long time. You can't say that about
Jalen
Brunson.
Jalen Brunson right now has been a top 10 player this year. He's going to be All-NBA first team.
That's nothing. That's media voting. That same media
thought. In worst case, he's going to be All-NBA second team, which is the definition of the top 10 players in the NBA.
The media thought Ben Simmons was good.
Especially this year, because, well, the media voted for...
They thought
Patrick
Ben Simmons
Ewing to get into the
good.
Hall of Fame. That's who gets him into the Hall
I'm
of Fame.
I'm not even that big a Patrick Ewing fan. I just find the comparison between he and Jalen Brunson ridiculous.
This year, at their peak, Jalen Brunson is as good, if not better, than anything Patrick Ewing ever did. I think Jalen Brunson is as good a Nick as I've ever seen in my life.
This is such a frustrating argument. But Jalen Brunson is not good enough to play like this on a contending team.
What did Ewing ever did? He never contended.
He contended. Absolutely
he was never
contended.
This,
you mentioned all those series in the mid-90s with the Pacers and the Bulls.
They never contended.
They absolutely contended.
They never won anything. They made it to the finals once.
They did?
Made it to when he was washed, right?
How many has Jalen Brunson made it to?
He has not made it to the finals.
No, he has not.
You're right. He is, and he is not. Now, Ewing was not the best player on those finals teams either. By the time the Knicks made it, when Ewing was ancient, he was not the best player on those teams.
And if the Knicks make it now to the finals, it will be because Jalen Brunson isn't the best player on the team.
Patrick Ewing, I'm trying to see if all of these came with the Knicks. He played 140 playoff games for the Knicks, 139 playoff games. He had 2 40-point games. Jalen Brunson has played, let's see.
Comparing offensive stats.
16, 20 games for the Knicks. He has 2 40-point games already in the playoffs.
Those offensive stats are not the same. They don't mean the same thing. The eras are totally different.
But,
we see these
But look at
scoring,
the score last night. We 96 see these, to 92, 97,
exactly
92.
Exactly my point. So you score 47 points and your team can only muster 97. That does not equate success.
It translates exactly to what the Knicks used to do in the 90s.
That does not equate good.
Jalen Brunson in 15 games as a Knick in the postseason, 29 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds.
Ben, if I just decided
he's going to have 2 playoff series wins, 1 playoff series loss at the end of this.
If I just decided to whatever like the air time is of our show is equivalent to Jalen Brunson's usage. If I just talked that whole time and then we ended the show and I said, "God, man, we crushed that. Did you hear how much I talked?" That's not, that is not.
But if we were the top show in the ratings, everyone would say, great, talk more.
That's not how a team works.
It doesn't matter. If it wins, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't win. It's a
first. They are winning right now. They are beating the Joel Embiid-led Philadelphia 76ers.
Which apparently is not that hard to do.
Joel Embiid was the MVP last year and is playing better this year than he was last year.
And where
did
they go in the playoffs last year?
He got hurt. Again, he got hurt. He didn't play most of the games in the playoffs last year, and they got eliminated.
Come on. Just because somebody... Oh, 47 points. Let's have a little nuance. We're smarter than that.
No, that is the thing. This is the nuance, right? This is the idea that we can flush our old ideas of what these players were. This is the idea that, hey, yes, I recognize that Patrick Ewing has this resume, and we can look at him and not remember missing layups against the Indiana Pacers in the final seconds of a game that you needed to win and it ending your playoff series. Like, all the moments that you choked Patrick Ewing because you did as a Knick and you guys never reached the potential that you were supposed to when David Stern pulled a frozen envelope out of the hopper to make sure that the Knicks got the number one overall pick so they could draft you because you were supposed to transform this team that needed to be transformed in the 90s, and you were fine, you were relevant, you were never great. Jalen Brunson's doing exactly the same thing with this Knicks team that Patrick Ewing did, and he's doing it at a higher level already.
He's not either. By the way, it was just an excuse to crap on Patrick Ewing?
I'm saying...
And like, your whole argument has been about that guy sucked, not about Jalen Brunson being good.
Jalen Brunson is great. Jalen Brunson is playing at an insanely high level right now. And he's really fun to watch.
Whose resume is... Well, let me ask it to you this way. Do you think Trae Young's good?
Trae Young is fine.
Do you think that the Jazz would go anywhere if they made a move for Trae Young?
Like, they're not going to win a title, no.
Trae Young has a better resume than Jalen Brunson. There are a lot of people out there that would argue that Trae Young is better than Jalen Brunson. That is not how you win in the NBA.
They would be wrong. They would be wrong. Trae Young right now is not better than Jalen Brunson, and I don't know if Trae Young at his best has ever been as good as Jalen Brunson.
He's gone to an Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm sure he scored 40 points in a playoff
game. And he beat the Knicks.
And he beat the Knicks.
Yeah, he did. Now, that was pre-Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson was still in Dallas there. I'm just saying, Jalen Brunson is playing at a level right now that has surpassed Carmelo Anthony in New York. And New York is prone, and you talk about this a lot, with the Cowboys and the Knicks for overrating their teams and overrating their players. And Patrick Ewing is somebody who has been overrated historically because of who he has been. I'm saying, you're right, the Knicks have historically underachieved in my entire lifetime. And it is partly because we look at who their players are and we have elevated them to standards that they never actually reached. Jalen Brunson is reaching the level of superstar right now playing for the Knicks, and I think he's in the conversation for the best Knick I've ever seen. And probably as good as Patrick Ewing was. And I get Pat was 7 feet tall, and I get he had his little mid-range jump shot, and I get he blocked some shots, and he was gregarious. Jalen Brunson's better. I will take Jalen Brunson.
Well, you're crazy.
Okay, and so it was too hot of a take for you.
It's a ridiculous discussion anyway. And I don't believe in what's the there's a saying for it, right? Where you think what's going on right now is the best that's ever been.
Or worst that's ever been.
And so many people fall into that.
Absolutely. And you know what? I don't think I'm prone to falling into it. I don't think I fall into it that badly.
Histrionics? Is that what it is? Something like that. Where you think every moment is making history.
Yes, or that every wave that comes at you is the biggest
thing
we've ever seen.
Just a pivotal.
The hornets that were coming during the pandemic were going to end the world.
Right.
Killer hornets or whatever they were called.
You think whatever you're watching at the moment, like this is the greatest game ever played.
I get it. I totally understand that that is a thing. And I generally don't feel like I do that at a bad level. But I can look back and say, hey, man, I remember these Knicks teams in the 90s always underachieving. They never reached what they were supposed to reach. They never got where they were supposed to get. This Knicks team is doing the exact opposite. A lot of people did not think they were going to beat the 76ers once Joel got healthy and had that team unbeaten over the final eight games of the regular season. And Jalen Brunson is putting an end to that by himself, and it's unbelievable. So I'm enjoying the ride, and I'm going to ride with this idea.
But you just told me his team was so good, he doesn't have to do it by himself.
I didn't say that.
Like he's just doing it by himself. Well,
no, I said it's fine that his usage is high if you're winning games. If that's how what it takes to win, good for you. You're winning games at this high of a level.
More than one way to win a game.
There are.
And it isn't that high a level. We're talking about the NBA first round.
He's beating a team that, had Joel been healthy, would have been the second seed. And he's doing it as a guard, which we don't see a whole lot. A small guard is beating this team that has a superstar center and the reigning MVP. Because he has elevated his game to another level, and it's a level that I've never seen another New York Knick reach. That's my argument. That's my take.
35%. 35%. So if you want to argue to me that the Knicks, that's what Philadelphia shot. So if you want to argue to me that the Knicks won the game over Philly because they played good defense, well, I'd listen to that. I'd say the good defense had way more to do with that win than Jalen Brunson's 47.
I think they are both very important. Obviously, you have to be able to get stops. But the 76ers were getting stops. Also, the one guy they couldn't figure out was Jalen Brunson, who shot 53% from the floor en route to 47 points. 10 assists, 1 turnover. Awesome. absolute mega efficiency on
and
that front.
And their team had a 17-point quarter and a 20-point quarter.
It's fine. Right?
No, it's not fine.
It's really hard to score in the playoffs.
Oh,
every
please.
Game. Look
Stop
at every
it.
Game. Look
Stop
at every
it.
Game. Look at the score of every playoff game right now.
Stop
Nobody's
it.
Breaking 120. Nobody's breaking 120 points. The league is awesome in the playoffs. Everybody plays defense. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to score.
35. The defense has more to do with that win than Jalen Brunson. If the Sixers shot 40%, they win.
And they didn't. And they didn't.
That has nothing to do with Jalen Brunson.
If Jalen Brunson,
zero to do with
Jalen Brunson had shot 32 times instead of 34,
they win by 10.
Philadelphia wins. Philadelphia wins.
You don't
know. He shot 18 of 34. He was over 500.
You don't know what
happens. He was awesome.
It does the gall to take 34 shots in a game.
They needed it.
You better be.
Who else are they going to give the ball to? Who else is going to take that many shots?
Exactly my point. The only time the Knicks are going to go anywhere ever is if they get
Josh
a better
Hart was
player.
0 of 7.
If they get a better player than Jalen Brunson.
Dante DiVincenzo was 3
how
of 11.
How many of those bozos would start?
Precious Achiuwa was 0 of 5.
How many of those bozos would start for the Celtics?
Josh Hart.
No.
Josh Hart might be their starting two. No, I guess they'd probably go with Drew Holiday. Derek White's been an all-star this year. Jalen Brunson's better than both of those guys right now.
He's the only one on
the
team
right.
who's
right.
good enough to have the
How
ball.
Is this an argument? How is this not an argument
He's
for Jalen Brunson being awesome? Jalen Brunson, they don't have another starter who would start right now for the Celtics, and he's about to beat the 76ers by himself.
High usage does not equate good. Do I need to come back to that?
But
does
he
not
is
equate
good.
Winning.
He has to do this. He could do less on a better team, and
Please.
They would still be really good.
He's Trae Young, and you're talking yourself into it. He's a Hall of Famer.
He did less with the Mavericks, and they beat the Jazz. He did less with the Mavericks, and they beat the Jazz next to Luka. He can play a different
that
role.
That had more to do with the Jazz than it did him.
Oh, I mean, he was awesome in that series against the Jazz. He was absolutely incredible in that series
he
against
the
Jazz.
He was better than Donovan Mitchell, yes.
Right,
but
exactly. He was the best player in that
Donovan,
series.
But that's the point. It was more about the Jazz than him, the Jazz failing.
Jalen Brunson in that series against the Jazz, 28 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds, 48% from the floor, took 21 shots a game. He's playing at an all-star and probably borderline superstar level right now, yeah. which I don't remember Patrick Ewing doing a whole lot.
Good luck.
Especially not in the playoffs.
Good luck.
Well, they're going to go to the conference finals.
Well, I don't think it's guaranteed they beat the Pacers. I can't believe you're buying the Knicks Kool-Aid. I think you're buying wholesale into the Knicks. What am I, on ESPN? Sitting there telling me how great the Knicks are every year. Yeah, I bet. Bet you love the Cowboys, too.
He's going to go to the conference finals as the best player on that team.
Stay tuned. More next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two amigos on the airways, talking sports. They got him and Jake's Alonso, loves his tie guy. Ben's got style with his scarf. Oh my.
Jacob Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, quick retraction. Jimmy Robinson's right on Twitter. Pat Ewing in 94 did take the Knicks to the finals when Jordan stepped away to deal with baseball or gambling or something, whatever he was doing, and got beat up by Hakeem in the finals. They go to Game 7, though, but with the Knicks. Did get to the finals, so credit Patrick Ewing there. Something that I don't see Jalen doing by himself.
Yeah, no. By the way, this segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. That is the Jake and Ben theme song
that was
that
written
we came
by,
up last week.
It was Carl or that was
Well, Dave,
Dave
and I wrote it, and then
Dave
Carl performed it.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys wrote that.
He was pretty good.
You were just... While everyone else was dealing with hockey and the end of the Jazz season,
we
scratched out some studio time.
Yeah. We had the Dreamcoats theme song. We had the Hants song.
Oh, I forgot about the Dreamcoats theme song. What was that one called? Dream on Ice?
Dream on
Dream
Ice.
Dream on Ice. Can we get a sample? Can you just get a little sample of Dream on Ice, the theme song for the Utah Dreamcoats, the upcoming hockey team that we have?
Slapshot, hard and fast, we're the team that's gonna last. Dreamcoats on the ice, we bring the heat. Don't think twice.
I just needed a taste. Pretty good. But there's more?
Well, see, we did another one. We worked up another one about Lloyd.
Okay.
That I sent to those guys. I was trying to give them some funny content, and I felt bad that Hans was a little mad about the one we did for him. So I thought he'd like a Lloyd one. And so they didn't play it because, you know, it's not going to make it through. A song about Lloyd isn't going to make it through Lloyd.
Okay.
To get to the air. So I figured we'll play it. Do you want to play it?
Well, yeah, Lloyd can't jump on the air and tell us not to play the Lloyd song.
So this one we got a little out there. We got a little out there in the songwriting about something that not a lot of people know about Lloyd. And so, Ben,
this is your Sergeant Pepper era or what?
Well, you be the judge.
Okay.
A little more of a country feel to it. But I give you Undercover Whiskers.
Lloyd's cold, radio producer by day, in the studio, all work and no play. But little do they know, there's a secret he keeps, a double life he lives when the city sleeps. Hiding in the shadows, he's a cat smuggler in disguise, moving felines like a whisper under moonlit skies. Lloyd's got secrets and he's got no time to waste. With every meow and purr, he's caught in his own chase. Undercover Whiskers had mischief on his mind. Lloyd Cole, pray they won't find out in time. Don't let the silence wail or the radio crackle. The secret's safe as long as he can keep the axle.
So this is about Lloyd's double life as a cat smuggler.
Cat smuggler.
Undercover Whiskers.
Undercover Whiskers.
Okay.
He's worried he's going to get caught. Smuggling felines.
While the city sleeps.
Moving felines like a whisper under moonlit skies. Yeah. He's a cat smuggler in disguise. Yeah.
I thought that was Sarah, to be honest with you, because she stole.
She did steal
the
cat.
She did
yeah.
steal a cat uh-huh. named Peanuts from the neighborhood. Someone was lost their cat at Liberty Park, and Sarah was the.
And he's got no time to waste. With every meow and purr, he's caught in his own chase.
I gotta say, I don't know how you do it, but you keep cranking out hits.
Cranking them out, buddy.
Who was the lead singer on that one?
Debbie.
Deb. Okay. So Carl and Dave and Debbie
and Deb
are your songwriting team.
Yeah.
I liked it. With the bar you had set with our last three songs, Jake and Ben, what's it called? Paradise Island? What's the Jake and
Island
Ben?
Vibe.
Island Vibe.
Dream on Ice.
Which obviously has a real reggae vibe.
Yeah.
Then Dream on Ice, which is a little more yacht rocky about the Dreamcoats.
Uh-huh. Second Chances.
The throw-in song about Hans and Rock and Merlin.
It's more poppy.
Yeah. I didn't think you would have a fourth in you. I didn't think... Eventually, you're going to fall off, right?
We've got range, buddy.
But you keep pumping out the hits.
All right. Let me know if there's somebody else you want me to write a song about.
You're the artist.
All right. I'll
you start taking
best.
Commissions, you're going to do a bad job. I think you're writing from the heart right now, and that's what matters. That's where it's really working.
My wife said, are you playing Lloyd's song?
Well, she heard you writing it. She
did.
You stayed up all night writing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she did. She heard us recording it. She saw the sesh.
Nice of her to trust you and Deb writing late through the night.
Oh, well, Deb's married.
Okay. Well, so are you. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
We could be professionals. What are you implying?
I don't know. I didn't know Lloyd lived a secret life as a cat.
But I understand.
Oh, that's not funny. Remember when we ended this at the new year? Remember when that happened? All right, stay tuned.
Some great songs you can't kill.
Hans and Scott here coming up next. And that cat smuggler Lloyd, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Undercover Whiskers, cat mischief on his mind.